everybody. Welcome to the In and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, Executive Editor of Anime News Network. And with me this week is Jackie, as always, our video producer on screen talent. James is out this week because he's on vacation. He's fine. He's just having a good time without us. So we miss you, James. I hope you're living it up. Yeah. So this week, we've got some news stories we're going to go over, and then we're going to talk about that really amazing episode of Attack on Titan that aired this week. Before we get to that, I'd like to remind everyone to please subscribe to this channel. We're on YouTube at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. So you're going to want to hit that notification bell and subscribe so you don't miss us when we go live each week. We're also on Twitter Spaces, Facebook, and you can catch clips of us over on Instagram and TikTok as well. So make sure to get us on all those channels, share us with your friends, and make sure that you're here if you want the latest in anime news and Attack on Titan. So before we get to our Attack on Titan stuff, the news this week, we've got three stories that I wanted to talk about. One is a new anime that Netflix just announced. We've also got some stuff about the Toei hacks, and then how JJK is doing in the box office. So first, we're going to talk about this new Tekken series. Netflix just announced it. They haven't announced when it's coming to their service. So yeah, they're calling it anime, but they haven't actually stated that this is animated in Japan or not. It only has an English dub at this point, so it doesn't look like it has a Japanese dub. At least it hasn't been announced yet. But it's 3D CG, and I'm interested in what people think of how it looks.
It was funny because you were like, oh, I don't think it's that bad. And then I was like immediately like, oh my God, I'm not happy, right? but I did say in your defense that I did think it looks better. I just, for some reason, as soon as I see CG pop up, I just like get like terrible flashbacks to like, what was it? The Berserk. What arc was it? But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Berserk was pretty bad too.
So bad. Yeah.
And I think this is definitely several steps up from some of the worst that I've seen, but there is definitely a range, right? Like, a lot of people hold up Beastars as, like, top tier for CG, and then you think of stuff like X-Arm or Berserk or...
But this is the thing that I was saying with Beastars, it's kind of like a slice of life with a little bit of action. So I think that that's why the CG never really bothered me. But here I get a little bit nervous because there's a lot of action here, as you can see. I 100% agree with you, though. It looks a lot better than what I'm thinking, like Baki and like some of the other ones that they got on there that I was just like, oh, this is like not hitting right.
Yeah, it's definitely stylized for sure. And
I don't want to write it off. I'm just saying that like the CG animation got me a little nervous, but I was like you, like this definitely hits in the nostalgia feels. Like my brother and I used to go to Red Robin with my parents, like on the weekends. It was like one of our like special family things. Yeah. And like, that was definitely some of our early exposure to arcade games. You know, like I remember we would go there and they had Tekken and Ian and I would just be like, while we were in the waiting to get a table, like we would always play. And I don't know about you, but I always feel like video games is kind of why I fell in love with anime as well. Like it was kind of like the gateway. I was going to say like gateway drug, but then I felt like that was inappropriate. But you know what I mean? Like it was like what led to us being like really into anime. So it's like I do kind of just seeing Tekken like got me really excited. Like I was like, oh, like the nostalgia feels.
Did you have a favorite character that you always played?
Man, I don't even really remember them. It was so long ago.
Girls, because I know I always picked a female player, right? I was a female fighter whenever I played fighting.
I definitely remembered the main guy and then the dad, who I thought was the villain, but it looked like he could be maybe the villain or maybe they.
I'm pretty sure he's the villain. Like, we've got someone in the chat who was saying that, like Tekken lore is crazy, and I only remember parts of it. And I feel like there's a demon involved. I don't remember like what the backstory is behind the leopard.
Yeah, I just remember like, there was like a fire scene. Like there was some guy and there was like fire. I don't remember.
I think he gets like full wings or something at some point. But yeah, I remember there's a leopard guy. Like he's a buff man with just like a leopard head, you know,
that kind of like thing. And Tekken iconic characters. I do, you know, there was a time when I absolutely adored these games. So like I love Dead or Alive. Right. Too, you know what I mean? And it's just like seeing them like just makes me so happy. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Tekken and Resident Evil. What was like the other one?
Soul Calibur. Like, oh my God.
That's the one with like the dominatrix chick and stuff in it. That was the racier
one. Oh my God.
What was
the name of the Voldo? Voldo. He's the creepy guy who like backbends and he's the BDSM guy. Oh, he's like got a shaved head and he's like all in like collars and then he bends over backwards. He does like the yoga pose where you're like that, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think he's got like long nails or something. He is literally probably one of the creepiest. He's probably one of the creepiest fighting game characters of all time. Like, I don't think many people would disagree with me on that, but yeah.
I remember about Soul Calibur, I think that's where he went for short skirts. Like, if you wanted lady fighters in skimpy outfits, you played Soul Calibur.
All of them are like that.
But it was exceptional.
But you know what I remembered about Tekken, though, was that when Ian and I played it, it was so blocky back then, right? So they were basically so pixelated and blocks. And I'm looking at, like, these photos now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the dad or the grandpa with the crazy...
The grandpa was always... Yeah, he's definitely...
Yeah, definitely remembered him. I mean, the hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, like, he has to be...
Craziest sideburns.
Yeah, ever. He's got to be one of the most iconic characters from that franchise just because of his... He's balding.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's already not great. Like, let's not draw a lot of attention to the fact that you're balding. But then this guy's like, no, I'm going to just stick hair gel and make it stick out to here and potentially use my hair as a weapon.
As a weapon, just like as a threatening display, like some birds do, you know, like that's what it's got going on there.
I feel like I'm not going to write it off. And like, I'm kind of on board because like nostalgia, but I'm also not like, oh my God, I want to see this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If they told me they're redoing Berserk, that arc that has the terrible CG, I'd probably get really excited.
We're always kind of waiting for more Berserk anime and hoping and being disappointed. It's like a monkey paw situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing beats the early 90s. That is literally probably that's in my top buy for sure. I don't even want to get it started. I used to be a part of this forum and I would be the only person to defend Griffith and everybody gets so pissed off at me whenever I say that. So let's just not even start. Next topic.
The next topic is, unfortunately, Toei was hacked. The animation studio Toei was hacked earlier this month, and this has led to widespread, not cancellations, but delays in multiple series and projects, including the Dragon Ball Super superhero film, which was supposed to be coming out. That was actually scheduled to open on April 22nd, and they've had to push it back. I'm not sure when that's going to come out now, but it was going to have a North American release this summer. So I don't know if it'll affect the North American release. It might get pushed to fall, maybe, depending on how far out, how much damage this hack actually did. Toei hasn't shared the details of exactly what happened during the hack, but it seems that they lost a substantial amount of work. Also, several series are going to have reruns for the rest of the month and into next month. And that includes One Piece, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, Delicious Party Precure, and Digimon Ghost Game. All popular series. Precure is, you know, huge within the Magical Girl community. One Piece, Wano Arc has been given those great reviews. So that's been pretty popular. And, you know, Digimon is nothing to scoff at either. But I don't know when new episodes of those are going to resume at this point because everything's delayed into early April. So
that's just sad. I mean,
I can't think of a time something like this has happened before, like to this extent, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we live in a time, I think, where stuff like this is more common. And it's just like sad because I just think it's a movie everyone's super excited for. So nobody really wants it to be delayed. I mean, in my opinion, Dragon Ball movies are like some of the most epic to see in theaters. Like Broly was like absolutely, I think I saw it like twice. I think I drove an hour in LA traffic to see it in IMAX because they were only releasing in IMAX for a short period in Irvine. Like there's no reason for me in Los Angeles to be going down to Irvine. And that was like how dedicated I was to see it in IMAX version, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sad. I'm definitely sad about it. What can we do though? You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So we might have more news on that soon, I hope, at least with some updates about the movie. But yeah, right now that's sort of the state of things. Speaking of movies though, one movie is doing really well in theaters and that's Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. If you were here last week, we talked about that film extensively and why you should go see it because it's a great time. It is currently number 2 in the U.S. box office underneath The Batman. It just opened on Friday. There were some previews early for that, but it's earned $8.68 million and is playing in over 2,000 theaters in the U.S. That's a wide opening, isn't it?
I mean, I knew that movie was going to kill it. Like, everyone's excited for it, so I'm not shocked by this at all. Yeah. Not even remotely shocked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting to see if it's going to like do as well as Demon Slayer.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's approaching pretty close to how much Demon Slayer made in the US at this point. So it could overcome it maybe if it gets a little extra
to see.
I just don't it's gonna be right under there.
I don't know if Demon Slayer is at the level that, or I don't know if JJK is at the level that Demon Slayer is yet with popularity. Like, I think a lot of people like JJK who have seen it, but I just think that Demon Slayer is just kind of like a huge title. You know what I mean? So I'm just wondering, like, have enough people had exposure to JJK for it to surpass Demon Slayer? If not, like, you know, we'll see. I do think JJK is going to be one of the most popular shonen.
Yeah, like, I think like given really its second season, it'll have room for more growth with its audience for sure.
It's amazing writing. I've never seen it like a shonen so... I mean, there's a lot of shonen that do a really good job of combining comedy and really heavy moments. But I think with JJK, it's so horrific. It has like the Tokyo Ghoul horror.
Yeah.
And then somehow can be like as funny and outlandish as like One Piece or Dragon Ball. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's as dark as Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah, it marries two things really well.
Yeah, but I don't know how they do it.
Yeah,
because it's a
very delicate balance that it pulls off.
Totally, and they like will do it like literally in scenes that are pretty much adjacent, and then I'm like, how did it, like I don't know, but they do a great job.
But you don't feel that whiplash for some reason. Like I've watched other shows where they try to do that. You know, go back and forth between emotional extremes.
Attack on Titan with the Connie brushing the mom's teeth. Like, I was like, I'm not mentally laughing right now. I'm not in a state to be like cool with that right now. Like, I was like, you all have been putting us through the ringer. Like, I can't, no. But anyway,
Yeah. So good for it. I hope it, you know, continues to find success and anime movies continue to do well in theaters. It just means that we'll get more openings and it'll be easier for people to see them. So you won't have to drive all the way to Irvine or something like that.
No, I don't want to do that. Yeah.
All right. That's it for the news this week. Let's talk about this episode of Attack on Titan, because if you ask me, this was a huge payoff for some of the weaker episodes we've had this season. Like, this episode was awesome. Just like amazing across the board. I have zero complaints.
It was really good.
It was really good. Just like stellar animation the whole time. Yeah. Jackie, what did you think?
I mean, I'm still just stoked to see like Annie and Reiner in Titan form, like literally just in action again. Like, I don't
know
why.
Annie was kicking people out of the sky.
I love seeing Annie in action. I just miss her so much. Yeah. I mean, obviously, without a doubt, Mikasa was the star of the show. I mean, she was trending on Twitter. Fun note, because I was talking to one of my friends about this, but apparently, like, her going ham wasn't in the manga. So like, was something really fun for people who read the manga and people who obviously are fans of the anime. So, cause my friend reads the manga and was like, yeah, that like whole Mikasa, like kicking ass, like it wasn't to the extent that it was in the anime. So they really gave her a lot of time to shine. I think what was really interesting, I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead here, but we've really been on Mikasa's ass. And by we, I mean, mainly me, for being like very, not taking a stand. Like, she's been very much like Switzerland and neutral ground. And I'm like, dude, like, you hold a lot of responsibility here, because like Eren is like, I mean, without a doubt, like her best friend. I would say like she and Armin kind of and Eren have like a little bit of like a triangle friendship. But without a doubt, Mikasa and Eren have like a really close friendship. Don't show me that. This is going to make me cry.
This is a good
That's
moment.
Like one of the most iconic. Yeah. I mean, Annie and Mikasa, like probably the two. I mean, there's a lot of great female characters in this anime, but like, I think they're both kind of like flagship, you know, main faces of this anime. And like seeing this moment where they're finally coming together after they're just being like this weird rivalry, I guess, without, you know, with I don't know if there's a better word.
Animosity, maybe.
Yeah. Definitely. And that what I said it was maybe jumping the gun too early was like the last scene previewing the next episode, or like it was very close to the end. I don't know if it was the preview for the last episode or close to the end, but like
it was a little epilogue, I think, when they're on the
was
boat.
It? Yeah. And Annie is like, looks at Mikasa and she's like, are you going to kill him or not?
Yeah.
Like she's finally like, she's like, are you going to fucking kill him? Excuse my French. But she like, she really puts Mikasa on the spot there, you know? And oh God, I am jumping ahead already because I'm talking about how Theo and Keith are dead.
We're going to get to
I'm
that.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. All right.
They so, like, had, like they were doing these close-ups on like Annie and Mikasa's eyes while they were talking. Now I'm a guilty shipper. So like while they were talking, like their faces were really close together and it was a really emotional moment. But initially, when it happened, my first thought was like, no, kiss. Because I thought they were gonna. I didn't think they were gonna.
We're all there for that. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't be there for that?
Ditch Aaron and go live happily together.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Though, didn't Norman kind of a crush on Annie? I think everyone had a crush on Annie. I think Bertholdt kind of had a crush on Annie, too. I don't know. Yeah. Everybody how do you not like Annie? Annie pretty much can just... Annie can do whatever she wants. Annie is just Annie. But yeah, I mean, this was definitely a really fun episode to watch. I think last episode, the one before this one, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it was just there was so a much lot drama. Of tension. Yeah.
This one was less tension and just more action, but like the action was really, really, dude, Reiner and Annie loses her head. And she's literally like, I can't see anything. And then Reiner's like, I can't move. And his face is like literally like
falling.
All
apart.
I can think about is like, this is a terrible comparison. Do you remember people were like, you know, don't do this on meth and stuff like that? And
like the egg?
Yeah. And I don't know. No, not the egg. They were like, they talked about a guy who like cut his whole face off because he was like on meth and it was just like a chunk. And that was all I could think of when I was looking at Reiner's face as I was like whoa. That was bad.
I don't know
if you have that image. I was like, whoa, I'm shocked that they're showing that. Cause it was just like, he didn't even have eyes or teeth anymore. It was just like, you know.
He was basically using his face as a shield for those explosions. And so he's like just absorbing them with his face. Yeah. Cause they're trying to keep the non-Titan members of their team safe while they make a run for the boat. But as you saw in the other picture, like three or four of them are wounded. So, you know, they're basically carrying each other there and stuff.
Yeah. Theo said something really interesting, like Titans are flesh mechas. And in this episode, they showcase that well. I think that we've seen Titans, you know, get beat up very badly before, but I think it was like, this episode was undoubtedly like, they were like gory. Like they were like in pieces. They were like, they were literally meat shields.
Yeah.
And you know that they're going to be fine and live through it unless, like, you know, something really, they get cut out or, you know, an explosion or something.
I was worried about that for Annie for a while because after they took her head off, like, she's basically like a chicken. Like, you ever...
Oh, my God.
Like, you hear about those chickens who get their heads cut off, but then they keep living because, like, the brain stem's still there. That's what that reminded me of. And so it's like, she's still in the nape of the neck, but she can't see anything because her eyes are disconnected. Like, the nerves are, oh, God.
I forgot who said what, but Reiner was like, I can't move. And I think she was, or maybe she said she couldn't move. And Reiner was like, I can't see. But it was both of them just being like, we're like completely like, I've never been in this bad of a situation.
Yeah. It was Annie who couldn't see. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Cause I was just like, oh, this ain't good, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, for me, without a doubt, I think the best, man, there were so many good parts. I mean, Connie coming out, slashing everybody, being a little demon that I've always wanted him to see. Mikasa really, I think you even messaged me about it. You were like, okay, Mikasa, like, taking no prisoners. And finally, like, there's no hesitation. Like, she's just like, she's gone into monster mode, right? Which we need at this point. Annie and Reiner in Titan form. I can never get enough of that. And then definitely Theo and Keith and Flock missing and falling into the dark water alone. And hopefully his ODM gear made him like sink to the bottom. That's all I'm hoping.
So, man. Yeah,
he ain't dead. We all know he ain't, but
I want to, I've got a video clip of Mikasa's big moment and I wanted to share it with you guys because it is just amazing. Again, there won't be sound because StreamYard, but
this was really gory too, watching her slash these guys up.
Yeah, but the, like, the movement in this is so good from like an animation perspective.
Oh my god,
the gore is really intense. Like,
it's breathtaking. This was literally, without a doubt, one of the best action episodes of Attack on Titan, and if not like anime period. This is amazing.
This is insane.
This is nuts.
She just stabbed through two guys, and the one in front of him is decapitated.
Yep.
And then she sets off their own explosive gear so that she can get, you know, the cool walk away from explosion moment.
And a rain of blood.
It's just like,
tell me,
she looks at you like, you got to do something. Yeah.
That has to be like in one of the top greatest like fight scenes. Like that was really, really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that's just like a fraction of it. Like she had like a lot of shiny moments. I thought Connie did too.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen Connie like
go apeshit.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen him like kind of in action, but that was like, I was like, okay, like that was really cool. Honestly, one part with Mikasa that kind of gutted me was like, there was some girl who was like, oh my God, you know, and then she just killed her without a hesitation. I was like,
wait, that was Jean that killed her though.
Oh, was it Jean? Okay, yeah. Yeah, because she got shot from behind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jean Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because the last episode, they were all like hesitant and like you could tell that they were all stressing. And then it's kind of interesting because it's like, I think that they are trained warriors, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But they're still human, right? So like the last episode was like that humanity, you know, being like, okay, do you really want to do this? And like, these are your friends. And then it was like, this episode was like, everybody just went full warrior mode. It was like the humanity and then was like completely turned off, which it's like, it's war, you know? So.
And they kind of opened with that. Like they opened showing the thing with Connie again, right? And like how intense that was for him. But then I think it's Hanji who comes out, either hears the gunshots or something and says, well, so much for that. And then at that point, everything just went to shit. Like they just had to start killing everyone. I want to talk about Falco's transformation this episode, though.
Oh, that was so I didn't know that when they are adapted or when they, you know, take on a new Titan, that the form kind of changes. Because I thought he would look just like Porco's. Is it Porco, right?
Yeah, Porco was the last.
I thought it would look just like Porco. So I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, it's got a beak. And it was definitely, I think, had more of a human form than Porco's. Porco's is like really frog-like. I felt like.
Yeah, he was this like one kind was, of scrunched.
I think I was just like shocked that they had some differences. Like I thought it might be the carbon copy. Like I didn't know that. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, so that's kind of interesting.
This scene I thought was also really good. This is the other clip I wanted to show. And it's, you know, after he manages to get his Titan form going, and it was difficult for him at first, right? Like, they didn't want him to transform. They knew that there would be issues if he did. He's like stabbing a small piece of metal into his hand to try and get it to go, and it's not working. And then once it finally takes, man, it's just like...
I think that he made the right decision, though, because it was like at this point, like they needed some sort of distraction. Even if he wasn't super helpful, like it was like they needed it, you know, so it was good that he did it. I mean, Falco's best boy, of course, he made the right decision.
That scene I just felt was like really cool with the movement, because we've got Hanji like on the ODM gear coming after Flock. We've got Falco basically like yelling in his face. And then we've got Peek coming in there, and she like tries to just like chomp him. And like you see like her tongue stick out a little bit as she's trying to get him, and he still manages to dodge it. And that's basically the beginning of the end for Flock, though, because Bro is like, well, I'm going to blow up the boat then. But I did want to say Gabby never misses. Has that girl ever missed a shot?
No, that was amazing.
Yeah.
She needed that moment, though. People hate her so much. And I think that I hope people hate Flock more than Gabby. You know what I mean? So I think it was good that she had a moment to really like kind of like put him down.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
He just sinks to the bottom of the sea.
That's, me too. That's why I said, I was like, I hope his ODM gear like can't come off and he just dies slowly. That's so bad to say out loud.
Yeah, drowning is horrible.
Bad.
But
Ishan said he's Gabby gang. That's Lindsay and I both don't really have a problem with her. We're both just like, dude, this girl's gone through a lot and she's like a child. You know what I mean? But I know a lot of people like really, really hate her. So
yeah. I felt like also though with Flock, like it could go either way. Like while I hope that he is sunk to the bottom of the ocean, I also feel like he could use his ODM gear and be like hitching a ride on the back.
He's not dead. There is no effing way. There's no way.
It was too easy.
When Flock dies, he's going to be like going up in flames or like getting ripped apart or like shredded by something. I feel like they're not going to have him just sink to the bottom, and no one shows what happens to him. You know what I mean? I'll be actually really surprised if that's his ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd be like, wow, they did him like that. Cause like, I feel like they really want him to be
like, he's the like sub-boss?
More sick. Yeah, he's exactly. He's like the sub boss, and he's like more despicable than Aaron. You know what I mean? Because it's like Aaron, we have like the history with Flock. Yeah. We just remember him being a scared little boy who was super annoying. You know what's interesting about Flock? And this, I mean, like I could be really going off here, but I think like a lot of times you see people who are weak minded and like really fearful, they attach themselves to ideologies really hard because it gives them a sense of identity and meaning.
Oh, go off, Jackie.
Yeah. No. And that is Flock. Like it's literally like he was just so scared And like, he was one of the most fearful characters we've seen, you know, like he was like constantly like externally showing his fear when he had to go into battle. Yeah. And then suddenly he has gained all this strength because like, he just gained his identity by following Aaron, like, so to a point where it's like, he doesn't need to think for himself in any way. And he can just like go so headstrong into it. And yeah, it makes him feel strong, you know?
Yeah. He thought he was going to be a hero if he at least managed to like stop their boat too. That's what he said. So that's why narratively, like, I could see them extending his life further just so he gets like a bigger end. But in some ways it's also kind of fitting for like a small minded ideological creep guy like that to just kind of go out like a little bitch.
Yeah.
To, like, not get his big fantastic ending, to like get shot in midair and then just drown.
Yeah. That'd be kind of great too, actually.
Yeah, right. It's kind of satisfying in its own way. So
if they do though, the next episode they have to show him at the bottom of the water and he'll be like blub. Yeah. Yeah. Then I'll be fine with it. But they can't just end with him falling into dark water. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if I was the writer of this, I would want him to die a really like painful, awful death. Because I just think that's what everybody wants. I think they feel like if he drowned slowly, it's kind of like not good enough. Mm-hmm. I also think he's just so batshit that he's like gonna find, like you said, he's gonna find some way to like shoot onto the ship and just be like dragged across the ocean and barnacles getting scraped against him and a shark will eat his leg. I don't even know what, but he'll like somehow be by Aaron's side because he's just so wild.
Like, you know, cockroach.
So, yeah, he is. He's, I think James called him the cockroach, right? Like, he is like, yeah, I think James last episode, he was like, he's like the cockroach. Like, he just like won't go. So
yeah. Well, I think we should talk a little bit about Shaddis and Maggoth at the end there. Cause that was, that was kind of beautiful in how sad it was. I felt
amazing.
Like,
you really, know, really heavy.
They get into that second boat. There's already crew on there because they're planning to pursue Annie and Armin and everyone. And they've holed themselves up in, I think, a munitions hold or something. It's probably, it's full of gunpowder and everything. And they've locked the door and they're having this heart to heart. There's a porthole the whole time in the door. And I was kind of like watching back and forth. And I thought that was animated really well because you see them talking about themselves and reassuring one another that, you know, that their lives had meaning and that the future is still has hope in it. And even though Maggoth has made bad choices, he fought on the wrong side. You know, he's had a big turning point. And you see in the porthole, someone on the crew notices that they're in there. And they're like, oh, shit. Hey.
No, they're like, hey, get out of here.
What are you doing?
That was so funny. That was like kind of like funny, actually. Yeah.
And he's just pouring gunpowder out and setting stuff up. And then they just blow up the whole thing. I was sad that, like, Shaddis, we've known Shaddis for the entire show, you know?
Like, yeah, he's like mid season one, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, sure. He was the one who trained them when they were
not dead. Earlier than that. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was a really nice juxtaposition because we see they mirror each other, right? Like, one was obviously training these children in Marley to kill like the demons, right? Of parody, right? And then Shaddis was doing the exact same thing, like training like his young folk to take down the Titans. And they both had to teach these children to be warriors. Like, they had to teach these children to be like hard and take on a role that they never wanted them to. And I think like they both like were speaking to that. And that's why it was just so emotional. Cause it's like, they've both had really hard lives individually, but then they had to make other people's lives really hard and put a big burden on all of those kids too, but out of love, you know what I mean? Like, which was like really twisted and demented, but I just think it was nice because they literally did not know each other, but they knew each other so well.
Right.
And it was like, they knew each other maybe like, let's hypothetically say like maybe 30 minutes or something, you know, like, but they knew each other like so well. And the moment when they were like, what's your name? Like, everybody was shook. Like, don't tell me like you, Mark. Yeah. Like, that was, the name exchange was like, I know you, like, we're one and the same, you know?
Yeah.
And then Gabby, she's like crying and like, I forgot who was holding her back. And I was just like, dude.
Because she probably spent a lot of time with Maggoth as a warrior candidate. Because he was
100%.
A warrior candidate. Yeah, so her and Falco spent a lot of time with him. Peak probably did too.
I'm sure Peak was holding back Gabby, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Peak did too. She was kind of taking on the older sister role in that situation.
Annie's breakdown was about Shadis, though, mainly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was just like, she's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
That's kind of the culmination of what got her to have that heart to heart with Mikasa. She's like, I don't want to fight any of you guys anymore. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't have my dad anymore. We finally got like a speed for the Titans. Like that.
By the way, the speed. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that fast because they were because Marlene Liberia will be like destroyed.
Yeah.
It's been like a day, right? I'm very shook by the timeline. Like I was like, oh wow, like they need to go.
So Annie's like trying to come to terms with the fact that her dad's gone. And we've known for a while that her dad was already dead there anyway, because he got shot at that gate confrontation with the guards. Cause you know, they had the psychic sort of vision. And so they all came up to the guards and they're like, yo, someone's on her way to kill all of us. And the guard, who wasn't Eldian, you know, didn't have the vision. He's like, whatever, is this a riot? You know, and he ended up getting shot. So he was already dead, but Annie didn't know that.
She's undoubtedly sad about her father dying in the rumbling. That's obviously.
She knows she's lost.
I think it was Shadis dying too.
She had a
relationship with Maggot too, right? So I'm like,
I mean, yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. As so I'm just like, yes. I feel like, I don't know. I thought Annie was just like, straight up just like, I'm fucking done. Like at that point, she's like been turned into a meat shield and they just had to kill I guess for Annie would have known those people who they were all killing too, you know. Like I don't know, I thought it was had just a combination of a breaking point.
She kind of had both sides there. I don't know if Annie, Shadis is the one who blew up the train as he came in. That was like his big intro. Again, things were moving really quickly, so it's a little hard to like know if everyone acknowledged everyone at various points, since we've got, you know, they're trying to get the engineers onto the boat and then, you know, they're killing a bunch of people and then a train freaking explodes and then Annie's head falls off and she couldn't see
anything. They said no one knew about Shadis. That might be I thought that they would have seen him, but I guess maybe
they
not.
Saw the train explode. It was like visible.
Well, maybe they didn't know it was Shadis who did it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they made it onto the boat before finding out that Shadis did it. And then, that's right. And then Maggot was holding the position. He stayed behind. He's like, I'm staying behind. And he's holding the position. And then Shadis made his way down and talked to him. And that's when they both got onto the boat. So, yeah, I don't think the rest of the crew on the boat maybe knew that Shadis was the one who blew up the train.
That low-key makes me even more sad.
They're going to find out way later.
Or not. Like, they're just going to never know how he died. And they say we're going to go down as heroes. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, they'll remember us in history as heroes. So I felt like they had to know Shadis was on there. I don't know. That's kind of semantics.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, Shadis is a badass. But I don't know. Maybe they didn't know he was on there. I don't know.
I felt a little bit sad for him, too. I mean, because when they're talking in there, Maggot is like, this is your last chance. Like, hit the water. You can get out of here. And Shadis is like, no, I've been kind of looking for an opportunity to get out for a while.
Yeah, like, he's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Like, I was like, part of me was sad that he didn't leave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, why aren't you going? Like, why? You know, like, we love you and you're an amazing trainer and you're like, we love you, you know? But then I think, like you said, when he said that, it was just kind of like, he was done, which is like super depressing. Honestly, you just saying that just made me so sad. I was just like,
you have to think like everything that he's watched happen throughout his entire life, you know? And I would think that after a while, I don't know, you just get tired. We saw it happen with Reiner earlier when he's like quite a few episodes ago, 3 or 4 episodes ago, he started getting kind of just depressed with the whole thing and he wasn't regenerating as quickly. And they've shown that when that happens to someone who's a Titan, like basically when they give up the will to live, that's when they'll stop regenerating and they can be killed. So, you know,
we need to talk about when Reiner just completely shut down when Marley was under attack more than ever before. And I was like, time to wake up, Reiner.
I mean, true for everyone. But that boy needs therapy.
I mean, Reiner, definitely. Yeah. Reiner is one of my favorites. And I honestly seen him and Annie in action. It's seeing him and Annie in action really made my love for Annie go up again. Like, I was like, oh, maybe Annie is my favorite again. But I do really like them. So,
yeah. Yeah. They're both just
and then,
like.
Oh, Sean said this. Who wants to live under the Jaegerus? If he swam out and survived, they know he blew up the train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, agreed. Like, what's going to happen? I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen. So I guess maybe he just was like, nah, this is it, dude. Like, I'm good on it.
Yeah.
He definitely was like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to do a dramatic escape here. Like, he was like, I'm good on it.
So. Yeah. This is my big moment of resistance. We're going to blow up this goddamn boat and maybe the kids will make it. Yeah. And that's good enough. But I'm out.
I guess, like, so now we got to think about, like, what's next. So.
And we haven't read the manga, guys, but it looked like in the preview to next episode that we're getting, like, a flashback. And we're finally going to maybe see why the hell Eren is how he is right now. Maybe? Finally? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know if we're ever going to get it. Well, we'll probably see something. But it's like, I don't know how Eren has gone like this. Right. Eren is still a mystery to me. Because I feel like every time I feel like I have a read on like how he is and I start getting mad at him, then something happens. Then I'm like, oh, maybe not that bad. And then I'm like, no, I hate him again. So I'm just like, kind of like, I'm just not going to say anything about Eren until we figure out what is fully happening there.
Yeah.
I mean, right now he seems pretty despicable. I think like the big thing is like, I don't know how I want it to go out. Like, I'm just like, do I want Mikasa and him to have a face off?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to, I mean, ultimately maybe it's going to be a giant face off against Eren. You know what I mean? Everybody trying to take him down, which will be, I mean, Eren's really, really powerful, but it's like, you know, I'm thinking of Captain Planet, like with our powers combined, you know, like this is a lot. They have a lot of strength right now. I mean,
yeah.
So they have Mikasa, who's probably one of the, like easily one of the best fighters, like period in the world. Right.
Yeah.
Levi, who we don't really know what his physical status is.
Yeah.
They have Reiner, Annie, Titan wise, Armin, Titan wise, right? Colossal Titan. They got Falco and Kark Titan-wise. Yeah. They have Gene, who's a really good marksman and leader. Connie, who's a really good fighter as well. Gabby's young, but solid fighter, you know? And then Hanji kind of like leading everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have Yelena and Anya Capone, who I don't really know if they're going to really be doing anything.
Yeah. Young Capone helped like get the boat started. Like he's been
they're
useful
not going to be
like,
leaders. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've also got the leader of the Azuma Bito with them, mm-hmm. who... She, you know, isn't a fighter, but strategically she knows a lot about the outside world that they don't because they've, you know, been sequestered into parodies for so long. So
yeah.
She's good for that. And they've got their, you know, their mechanics. But otherwise, I don't think they've got like a big weapon stockpile or anything like that. They've just got, you know, their ODM gear and their wits. And
I just am like, I'm wondering like how it's going to go down. So, I mean, at this point, they're trying to get to a ship. Right?
Well, they're on a ship and they've got the flying ship that they're towing behind them, but they're heading for a mainland port sort of place where they should have time to, because it's going to take 12 hours to get it in the air. So they basically decided, like, they're like, we can't do that. We can't hold out 12 hours here among flocks people. So they're heading there instead where they should be able to get it up and running. And then from there, try to head to where Eren is. Which they still don't know, but they are assuming that Yelena knows, and she's like keeping her mouth shut until I don't know. That's the reason they still have her, and she's still alive, is because she might have, or she supposedly has intelligence on where Eren is going. I've got a couple of quick announcements as far as like what's going on with the podcast this Friday. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Jackie, myself, and Mother's Basement co-host owner Jeff Thew are going to be hosting the trailer watch party. I put together the list of videos. There are 46 trailers this season. So if you haven't been to one of those before, they're a lot of fun. We watch every single trailer for the upcoming season. And then we talk about which ones, you know, look the best, that we're most excited about. It's usually a good time. We just kind of like go through them all. It's a great way to get yourself acquainted with all the new shows that are going to air. So that is on Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We also will be starting Preview Guide on April 1st, my birthday. Yay. On my birthday, I get to launch Preview Guide. But that's also a great way after you watch the trailer party. You can head there. We've got 5 critics. They watch every single show that's available for legal streaming and give us their takes on what is worth your time, what isn't, if you're still up in the air and you know not sure what to add to your queue. They'll be somewhat streamlined now that all of the shows are on Crunchyroll or HIDIVE. So a couple are on Netflix, but I don't know that Netflix is doing any simulcasting this season. So those are the only 2 subscriptions you need to watch all the anime for spring season. So
we're going to be there for a while because apparently there's like 45 shows or something. So
yes, 46. A total of 46.
Just add
trailers.
On one. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
45 wasn't that bad. Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. I can't believe we only have one episode left. It's definitely going to be a movie. They're going to see Aaron and then it's going to end and they're going to be like, you got to go see the movie. And I'm going to be like, you're kidding me right now. But I mean,
there's no way they're going to get to Aaron next episode. They already were showing like flashback stuff. So now I'm wondering, like, they'll probably do like some flashback from Aaron's perspective or something. And then they'll get to where they fix the airboat. And that's probably going to, and then, you know, they'll sail off in the airboat and they'll be like, see you next season.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever. Yeah.
For sure. Man, it's been fun though. It's super fun. It's definitely, I'm waiting to get my Attack on Titan tattoo because it's got to end legendary and not awful. But again, everyone says it's so divisive. So I wonder what camp I'm going to fall into. Yeah. I really have no idea.
I hope we at least get something meaty next episode then if it's the last one. And James should be back too, you
guys. I'm scared. We'll see what it ends up like. So we'll see. We'll see. I hope it's just not like terribly disappointing and not that much happens. And then we're going to be like, how dare you? But I feel like that's kind of what's going to happen. So
then it's going to be a lot of like prep.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, everybody. I think that's it for this week's after show. Thank you guys all for tuning in. It was a great episode of Attack on Titan. Make sure that you are, we won't be here next week, but we will be the week after that. And then I suppose the week after that, I might, if we're still doing preview guide, there might be another break then. Okay, so we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. And tune in next time. Bye. And then...